Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Tonight, are you learning and living a lifestyle that contributes to the total liberation of our people, or are you busy contributing to the destruction of our people? Stay tuned. We'll talk to this and other questions as soon as we come back on the other side of the music.
Will you give up your rhythm?
No! The rhythm makes my heart drop,
take it away. Let go of the beat.
To dare to win. And yes, we are the drum, calling our people to self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. Welcome, family, to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 to 10 p.m. Dare to Win is the place where we have a sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join this evening's conversation, call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone if you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you are listening to us by your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. That's USLIFTINGUS.com. Click on the Ulu Radio tab, and then click on Listen Live, and that will bring you into the studio. My name is Brother Kimbizi. I'm one of the board members of Us Lifting Us, and we are joined this evening by Brother Thurman Smith, another board member, a seasoned brother, a long time in the struggle, and just an all-around beautiful spirit. And tonight, our topic is, are you learning and living a lifestyle that contributes to the total liberation of our people, or busy contributing to the destruction of our people? I want to welcome Brother Thurman to the airwaves and let him say greetings to the family, and then we'll jump right into tonight's discussion. Brother Thurman, are you with us?
Yes, brother. Brother Kambizi, thank you so much, and I'm so happy, as always, to be with the family and like to be with the family every day and in every way.
Well, it's good to hear your voice, as always. As we're looking at that question, Brother Thurman, when you ask, are we learning and living a lifestyle? And so it raises the first question in my mind, what do we or should we be learning? Help the family understand your thinking in terms of this idea of learning. We know that as an African people, we have always been lifelong learners. So get us started tonight, especially in this COVID-19 pandemic environment. It seems more important than ever that we are paying close attention to what it is we are learning. So talk to us about that.
Yes, thank you so much for the question. And also, it's interesting that you add the COVID virus to the conversation. And the reality is, and I would just think of two realities, is that without a doubt, all around the world, our people are learning, and more are learning, and more are living the lifestyle that would contribute to our total liberation. Sadly, if you had to put it in a percentage, whatever that is, the vast majority have been so bamboozled, so socialized, and all of those things, that they're not in the mode to be learning, because and we have failed and we have drifted away from our original ancient cultural value systems, where learning was a lifetime process that began in the womb and even could be before in the womb, and it never ended. We should always, the wise are always teachable forever if they're 200 years old. And in that process of dealing with the subject of learning, it's essential that we have a very nourishing environment in our spirit, mind, and body. And if we are devitalized and malnourished in that mind and body, for example, we are not able to effectively to maximize on the ability or even the motivation to learn. And so there are many that indulge in the devitalized dead food and environment, and as well as living in polluted and corrupted environments, that if their brain was like the automobile that had 6 or 8 spark plugs, all of their spark plugs are not firing, and so they're not getting maximum performance out of their brain computer. Everything is not firing. It needs to be overhaul and reboot it, so that then so what happens when our people are being properly nourished in their mind and body? Among the things that people have experienced for a long, long time, and I experienced it myself when long ago I switched totally away from animal, one of the first things that happened within days was that my third eye opened in ways that I had never realized. That was a spiritual awakening that just had to do with me switching from a dead food diet to a live food diet. So with regard to this this virus, when the people are still not learning and learning how to discern and read through a lot of the madness, a lot of the people are taking this virus thing on. They're just talking about it, and talking about this person said this, and this person said this, and they're going to do this to us, and blah, blah, blah. But it's creating a fear hysteria. And when you create that kind of fear thing in your mind all the time, it affects your body in a detrimental way. And then energetically, whatever we focus on, if we focus 24/7 on liberation, as a people, as a group, as a collective, we will manifest that. But if we focus on this horrible thing that's coming at us, and I got to put on the mask everywhere I go, and I got to be careful. But I'm just worried, and I'm actually attracting and helping the virus to manifest. And that's a major thing that we got to be concerned about. that's related to learning in this virus.
Okay. Family, again, to join the conversation, if you're listening via your phone, it's 929-477-2789. When the phone clicks, then press the number 1 on your phone, and that'll bring you into the studio. It kind of raises your hand. We see you, and we'll come to you for your comment or your question. Again, my name is Brother Kimbizi, and it is my great pleasure and privilege to be in conversation with Brother Thurman Smith, one of the board members for Us Lifting Us. And we are having a conversation on the topic, are you learning and living a lifestyle that contributes to the total liberation of our people, or are you busy contributing to the destruction of our people? So, Brother Thurman, as you make us aware that we've got two tasks in front of us. One is learning. Two is living. So as we are thinking about learning, what materials would you suggest or are you currently reading that you have found helpful and that those listening to us tonight would find beneficial?
Oh, thank you so much. And that's a very good question, you know, very timely. And there's certainly much that in terms of reading or other methods of learning, because reading is a very effective way of learning. But when we go back to our ancient high culture societies, there were ways of learning and other methods that you could say was above what you get out of reading or certainly equal to. But that's another subject. But just in terms of you talk about things that we need to know, we need to know how we are being misled. And certainly there are books that can help us with that. And we've got many master teachers, ancestors that have put books there and left them vital, very vital, must read books. But there's one that came out very recently that is quite amazing and quite on point. And it's by Brother Dr. Jerome E. Fox. His name is Dr. Jerome E. Fox. And the title of his book is Addicted to White, or maybe the longer title is Addicted to White Value Systems. And he starts his book off talking about saying that there are he starts his introduction to his book, a very in-depth book, but among the white value systems that he said that we are addicted to is, number one, everything black is bad or inferior, or and everything white is superior. And a lot of us can relate to that because we've been taught, in so many maybe you could say subliminal ways, or you through the trichnology, you know, that they teach us, you know, that it's good, that cake is white, it's angel cake or angel food cake. You relate that to all this other stuff that they've related to white, you know, Snow White and Mary Had a Little Lamb and on and on. And then the less desirable and not so pretty cake is a devil's food cake. And so that's a value system that many of our people for generations and a lot of our elders that we as little children grew up around, they had that in their head. Number two is we put things above relationships. And though, even though he's not mentioning it in these five things about materialistic slavery, but all we got to do is just look around us, because when we're dealing with reality and truth, it's got to be evidence-based. And so it's evidence that we are, many of us, large numbers of us, are addicted to putting things above relationships, things, you know, like tennis shoes and boots and wheels and fake hair and on and on. And the numbers, as people say, don't lie. You know, there's multi-millions and billions of dollars is generated over putting things and materialistic stuff over a relationship, in the relationship that we should be having with our people, with each other, and the love we should have. If the loyalty is to the shoes and to the wheels, then, you know, see you later, you know, because I'm getting these wheels and these shoes first. And so even in recent days or so, I believe in Georgia, when they strategically opened up some stores that lots of our people would go to, I saw a picture with a few dozen young brothers, whether they were in their teens or early 20s, but they were standing in a long line anxious to buy some shoes, some tennis shoes. And I said, what? Ooh, it still is painful, because they could have pooled those resources collectively to build businesses that would be building businesses that would get bigger and bigger and bigger and employ our people. And as it gets bigger and bigger, leave a legacy for many, many future generations. That's just an example.
Brother Thurman, I'm just curious,
yes,
because what you describe, I think so many of us have seen, and if we're honest with ourselves, we have to acknowledge that it is true. I would ask, why do we behave that way? What's going on with us that we would risk health and life to purchase a pair of brand name sneakers, or take hard earned money to invest in rims that will deteriorate over time and depreciate. So why is it that we behave that way, do you think? I'm gonna let you pause. Mull on that for just a minute. We have a caller that's been holding. The last four numbers of their phone number is 1555. I want to open their line and get their comment or their question, and then we'll talk a little bit more about why it is that we're behaving that way. Caller 1555, last four numbers 1555. Your line is open. Please give us your name and where you're calling from, and state your question or make your comment. Caller with the last four digits, 1555. Your line is open. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had went in there. My name's Rick. I'm calling from Chicago.
Rick, how are you doing this evening? And welcome. Glad to hear you.
I'm glad to hear you too.
You have a question or you want to make a comment?
Well, I would just say, in terms of going about doing something that was really in line with improving our status or conditions, what type of, I guess you might say, specific program or activities would you all emphasize or promote? Is there any specific agenda?
Okay, outstanding question. Thank you for putting that on the table. I'm going to ask Brother Thurman to respond to your question. Brother Rick from Chicago is asking, what behavior or what actions should we be engaged in, Brother Thurman, to turn our condition around?
Well, I would say just to start off with, because this call is, and I myself as along with Brother Kimbizi, loyal members to Us Lifting Us, and Us Lifting Us is about is got a well put together model of dealing with cooperative economics and breaking away from this capitalistic system. That is one of the things that we must do. But the attack on us is comprehensive, and so we've got to be comprehensive in terms of our response to stop the attack. And that means that if you talk about things that must be done, we must correct our miseducation, I mentioned some things about diet earlier. We must correct that. Actually, everything that we are doing wrong. So that's why the question, are we learning and living a lifestyle that contributes to our total liberation or busy contributing to the destruction of our people? Everything that's contributing to our destruction, we've got to get away from it. We got to abandon it, let it go. And so if we've been miseducated, and so Brother Dr. Jerome Fox's book, Addicted to White, deals with, in terms of the point number three, is that we are addicted to a white value system that says our oppressors are trustworthy recorders of history and reality, the news, and on and on. And we have failed in trusting their versions of reality and trusting them as being trustworthy recorders, and they have misled us. And it's not, the misleading has nothing to do with my or your opinion. It's evidence-based. And so we could compare a whole lot of things that they have taught us or mistaught us, and we've got to raise our people and our spirit, our mind above confusion and bring it to clarity. And so everything we do to get on the right side of where we should be brings clarity into perspective. When you change that diet from an inferior, devitalized diet, it opens up the third eye and you have greater clarity and you can see life better. We can see each other better, more lovingly. But when that third eye is closed, we don't see each other like that. And there's more. We could talk about that for a while, but I hope that was just a start of what you were asking, your question was.
Right. And I would add to that, Brother Thurman, this book by Dr. Jerome Fox, Addicted to White, as you indicated, the subtitle is, or the statement he was making, we are addicted to a white value system. Now, that's crucial if we're going to understand our behavior in this historical period or any other for that matter, because a person's value system determines their attitudes about everything, and then their attitudes inform and guide their behavior. So I think you are absolutely on point in bringing to us Dr. Fox's book, Addicted to White, causing us to look at the values that we have internalized as part of our captivity and enslavement in the United States. So you had started out saying the first value that is that everything black is bad or inferior. Two, we put things above relationships. That is, we've become very materialistic. Material things are more important to us than people. The third point that you mentioned was the oppressors are trustworthy recorders of history. In other words, we think their history books and their news programs are trustworthy, and that becomes the foundation of our reality. And I think you're suggesting, I know Brother Fox is, that is completely the opposite. Those are false information and it's a distorted reality. And until we break out of that, we're going to continue to be exploited and oppressed. And then the fourth white value that we have internalized, according to Dr. Fox, is individualism. So continue with that, Brother Thurman, and then go on to that fifth value, and then we'll try to see if there are any more questions before we take our first break.
Yeah. So you stopped at number four. Individualism is better than collectivism, and Our people have adopted that, because when we have that intent, that spirit of collective value of each other, of life, we act that way. And so we would just readily, joyfully greet each other always. But this individual is that I'm going to get mine. And if I can get mine and run and get it before you get yours, that's what I'm going to do. So it's kind of like white male, you know, maybe, who knows, you know, 40, 50 years ago or whatever, went to Africa. And so he saw some African children and he told them, he said, look, I've got a bag of candy. I'm going to tie it, or either it was tied to a tree over there. He said, now, if you all, when I tell you to go, whoever runs over there and gets there first can have the bag of candy. And they just looked at him quietly because they were strongly attached to their culture. So they really understood from a collective perspective how they were going to respond. And so when they were told to run, they grabbed each other by the hand and they just moved towards the bag, and they got the bag and they all sit down and they were just joyfully passing around and sharing it with each other. And so the male came over to him and asked him, said, why didn't one of y'all run and outrun? And they said, no, we, you know, this part of our culture is that we, it's no good if some of us got some candy and the others don't, or whatever was in the bag. And I didn't word it in the exact, you know, I'm paraphrasing that African wisdom. And so we have failed for the individual thing, you know. So it's just like today, you know, running around to, I was observing in hospitals that I had to go in, you know, the number of sisters and brothers that I was anxious to just greet them, that they were just anxious to just ignore. But it wasn't about me. They do this, the ones that have been infected by this miseducated way of thinking, that's just their individual way of living. And so somewhere in Dr. Fox's book, Addicted to White, he talks about, I think it's in the title of his book that says, and I don't have the title in front of me right now, the full title, but it says in so many words that we are subject to the oppressor, but we are also simultaneously subject to the ways that the oppressor has us addicted to white, and that thinking, that including that individualism. And so it just makes our plight towards liberation more difficult because we are not only dealing with the oppressor, but we're also dealing with our own. And so what we've got to do is we've got to start living the lifestyle to reverse that in all civic areas. And number five was the best way that's about the number five value system, or we are addicted to the white value systems, including number five. The best way to feel number five, according to the white value system that they have indoctrinated into some of our people, is to, the best way to feel good about yourself is to surpass, to defeat, to outdo someone else, and to show yourself above and beyond them. Surpass them, defeat them, outdo them, and put competition over cooperation. Put competition over cooperation. And so those African children with that bag of candy, if competition was the issue, one of them would have got there first and took the bag and said, y'all get out my face.
And how much have we seen that, or how often do we see that?
Yes.
That title is Addicted to White, The Oppressed in League with the Oppressor, a shame-based
yes.
alliance. So you're absolutely yes. right on that fifth point, of this competition thing. The best way to feel good about yourself is to surpass, defeat, or outdo someone else. And that's a deadly cocktail in terms of keeping people dominated and working against their own best self-interest. Brother Thurman, let's take a quick break, and when we come back on the other side of the break, we'll continue with this exploration of are we living and are we learning and living a lifestyle that contributes to the total liberation of our people, or are we busy contributing to the destruction of our people? They were flying down a path. Don't go anywhere, family. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
And if I die before
back. Welcome once again to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly broadcast. We come to you every Thursday evening from 9 to 10. Tonight we are focusing on the topic of, are you learning and living a lifestyle that contributes to the total liberation of our people, or are you busy contributing to the destruction of our people? My name is Brother Kimbezi. I'm your host this evening, and I'm joined by Brother Thurman Smith, one of the board members of Us Lifting Us. Brother Thurman, before the break, we were just concluding the list of the five things that Brother Dr. Fox lists as the ways that black folks are addicted to white folks, making the argument that we are addicted to a white value system. So he laid out those points. So in terms of the learning, Brother Thurman, that you are recommending, that Us Lifting Us is recommending for our people, so what are the things we must do, break out of this box that we're in, so we can become self-determining and begin building the institutions that will serve the needs of our people?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that comes to my mind is that in all areas of people activity, Neely Fuller, Elder Neely Fuller, wrote the Code System book. This got a much longer title. I think it's called The Compensatory Code System Workbook for Victims of White Supremacy. But Neely Fuller's Code System book speaks of nine areas of people activity. Others would say that there's more than nine, but if we look at every area of people activity, and especially activities that's just essential for our lives, we have all been misled in all of them. And so we must begin to break away and make the transition away from all of them. And I wouldn't suggest that people could break away from all of them at one time. And it's just, if you started, calling them out and saying, look, go do this, do this, do this, a lot of people wouldn't be able to handle it. So what they do is they pick some areas and just start making that slow breakaway. And we've got to break away of we've got to begin to learn that we, for one, the book Addicted to White talked about how our oppressors have made us, many of us believe that they are trustworthy recorders of history, and that's not absolutely not true. And so we've got to open up our mind, our spirit mind, and in order to awaken, it also requires courage. Because as one minister said, when it comes to the subject of courage and the awakening, he says, that surgery is often painful. And when people have been lied to with well-dressed lies that have been told for centuries, and they believed it, it can be painful for them to let it go. And so, as Malcolm said, you know, don't take on too much at one time. But we've got to begin to let people feel what it's like to realize that there's a higher level of knowledge, a higher level of thinking, experience some of these evidence-based truths that will make them hungry and anxious to find out what else is there that I don't know. Because in this process of learning and being teachable, every time you learn something that's on a higher level, just never forget there's always more. And as you go to more, at some point, it's actually going to change into a whole total dimension. And so however you've been operating before, now you're operating in a totally different dimension. And I might have said it earlier, the ancient Africans knew of a dimension that's still there, that when it comes to reading in books, for example, there's a dimension that we can come to where you wouldn't have to read books anymore, because we already know anyway, or we tap into where we already know and to the energies, and people would talk about what's called the Akashic Record, but there's knowledge out there that can be revealed to us, and we wouldn't have to go to any book, but that's in another level to go to. And so I could...
Yeah, you sound like you're talking about the idea of African people of African ancestry having access to cosmic intelligence, this intuition,
yeah.
Where mm-hmm. which is greater than the intellectual apprehension of knowledge or information. So one of the things I think that you're suggesting then is that we need to be forever teachable. Talk to us a little bit about that, Brother Smith.
Yeah, that's a serious thing, because, you know, we know that we've heard people say, well, look, I'm too old now to learn, and that is absolutely untrue. It's just part of the misleading misinformation. It's not true. As I said, when we make sure that we are well-nourished, the mind is capable of being clicking on all cylinders, you know, for a long, long time. And if you do that in conjunction with exercise of the mind, the spirit, mind, and body, it'll function very, very well. And that's why, you know, people around the world that have practiced exercising their spirit, mind, body, along with the nutrition, they do very, very well in what some people would call old. They do very, very well. And it's there waiting for us. So it's just like when it comes to healthcare, for example, healthcare in most of our people's mind and their visualization of healthcare, it's going to the doctor and medicine and things like that. And actually, this medical care is a horror story. It's insanity. And
yes, it is.
If we awaken to, and so we'd have to have some experience on the natural side of care, which is a higher level of wellness and a sane way of wellness, and that also avoids a whole bunch of stuff. And so in this quest to live a lifestyle of total liberation would mean that we are not bound up or subject to any more horrors or brutalities and things like that. But the brutality also includes that if I eat myself sick, you know, with pigs behind or pork chops and cheese and soda, and then I end up going to, you know, with high blood pressure, diabetes, kidney dialysis, and all of that, I actually committed, I was misled, and I committed a horror against myself, and then I go around as if it's just normal. It ain't normal. It's abnormal. And so there are sisters and brothers currently around the world that are doing extremely well and have had decades go by without none of this horror story, none of it. So just for example, there's a sister in Florida. Her name is Annette Larkins, L-A-R-K-I-N-S. She's had at least 54 years simultaneous, no health issues to speak of. 54 years. But she's 78 years old. So look around you and see how many folks you know that's 60, 70 years old, and ask them how many years have gone by, how many decades have gone by where they don't have no high blood pressure, no diabetes, and on, and they are fit and slim, and as she says, she exercises at least about an hour every day. She grows all her own food. She never eats out, grows all her own food. And as she says, when it comes to dancing, she says, I can pop it like it's hot. So why, how dare us, if there's models like Annette Larkins, how dare us to eat the pork chop and the cheese and go through this horror story? And what is the horror story doing? It's putting a whole lot of stress on our mind, our body. It's costing us a whole bunch of money. It costs a bunch of money to run up and down the road to go to all of these clinics and things like that and to take all of this. So I was dealing with some medical stuff today, and that was a prescription. It had something to do with some eye medicine, and it's a horror story to me just the experience. But that little bottle of medicine was $500,
mm-hmm.
and that was a copay. But it was a horror story to me. But I knew I couldn't express it the way it could make sense, because we've got to get on the higher side of thinking about whatever, and when we start incorporating that higher thinking, it begins to, clarity begins, the mind's eye opens up and clarity begins to take over. And so just I want to give you an example. Martin Luther King, among the things that he said, we got to get the language right. But on that note, get the language right, there's so many things that our people commonly say, and they got the language all wrong. And to me, it's a horror story to say, how in the world, even though I know how, our people could dare be saying, brother, what you doing today? Where you hanging out? Or let's go hang out. And my mind said, how could some people that have been lynched, and the lynching have never totally stopped, could we be talking about, I was hanging out with so-and-so this weekend? How could you use that word? But if we don't think about it, we use it. How could we be talking about, well, what you doing today? Oh, I'm just chilling. That was a time our folks never would have even thought of such a foolishness as using that word like chilling. But there's also, we talk about Mayotte, but the people still simultaneously may talk about, mention Mayotte and be cursing. But it goes against the principles of Mayotte. It goes against Neely Fuller's code system book. It goes against our spiritual wellness. So how dare us to do that? And then there are so many words that we have not looked thoroughly at the definition of. So there's a word called agape, A-G. People A-P-E. Will say, well, this one. A-G-A-P-E, mm-hmm. Agape. And people will say agape, agape love, or God's love. But they have not thoroughly looked up that word. But agape, in origins of that word, dealing with Europeans, is about the highest form of love. And in their definition of agape, when you really keep looking for it, it means the highest form of love amongst these European males was with little boys.
Mm.
And so we got to get the language right. But when we get the language right, we also get the pollution out of our spirit mind. It helps us to rise up. And then we can go and embrace other things. We are beautiful people. We're genetically, by genetics, beautiful people. But when we've been miseducated and we got the language wrong, then we'll call each other ugly or think of myself as ugly and blah, blah, blah. But based on our scientific analysis of us, it absolutely ain't true. So if you could take the darkest, blue, blackest of us, but if you go into the science of the genetics of us, the most richly pigmented, and that's the terminology that our people use at the World African Melanin Conferences, the most richly pigmented that you could ever find that still exists, genetically, they are classified scientifically as genetically dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that's near white are scientifically defined as genetically deficient or lacking. And that's just science. And so
they are aware of that, which is the reason why our people represent an existential threat to them, because genetically they are a recessive trait people. And Brother Thurman, you mentioned a good point when you were talking about the first of all, because our diet is off and we're eating denatured and food that has no life in it, that's compromising and undermining our health, which then sets up the stage for us to walk around with high blood pressure and hypertension and diabetes and other chronic illnesses that send us to the doctor. And now one thing that I think that has become crystal clear in this coronavirus environment is that a profit-driven health system is absolutely insane. And so the argument that health is a human right, in other words, health and health care has to be available to each and every person as a basic human right. It can't be based on who has the money to pay the doctor or who has the $500 to buy that small bottle of eye drop. The system has to be guided by the value that health is a human right. And I think as we're following the conversation that you're laying out for us, that's why Us Lifting Us becomes the most practical and logical alternative for us to build. In other words, we have to build an economic model that rests on human values and that's guided by and driven by human values and not driven by profit. And so that's why the longer we participate in the dominant system that these Europeans have imposed on themselves and the entire world, that's where the individualism comes in. That's where the competition comes in. That's where the materialism comes in. That's where this all of these teachings about blacks not being good enough, all of that is the result of the operation of this capitalist economic model. It is life destructive. And so the point that you're helping us to see is that this, when we look at ourselves and appreciate what you call this melanin-rich, this melanin richness that we don't appreciate, but we must learn to begin to really value, then we change our diets. We move to a plant-based diet, as you pointed out when we first began the conversation. Our third eye opens up, and all of a sudden, solutions that we hadn't seen before leap to the forefront. And so, you know, you are suggesting to us that, A, we have to do this learning, and then we have to do the living. Let's take one more quick break and then tie all this together with the plan that Us Lifting Us is presenting, this idea of pooling our resources so we can open a different kind of business and begin to practice these different kinds of behaviors that you're talking about. So we're going to take this this quick break, and then on the other side of the break, we'll tie all this together, and see how the solution that Us Lifting Us is offering to our people just makes so much sense. Thank you. welcome once again, family, to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Thursday evening radio broadcast. To join the conversation, just dial 929-477-2789 on your phone. Press the number 1. That will raise your hand. We'll see you in the studio and open your line for question or comment. My name is Brother Kimbisi. I'm the host this evening, and we are sharing with board member Brother Thurman Smith, who has been helping us as we talk about, are we learning and living a lifestyle that contributes to the total liberation of our people, or are we busy contributing to the destruction of our people? And so, Brother Thurman, talk to us now about living a liberation lifestyle and how Us Lifting Us becomes the economic model that makes that possible.
Yes. Us Lifting Us, you just said it, is the economic model with our pooling our resources that definitely makes it possible, and we need it very badly. We need it all to come into fruition tomorrow or tonight. We are being severely attacked, and this virus is just adding to that, and now more than ever, we need to be pooling our intellectual and financial resources. Us Lifting Us has a model in place, and among the things that Us Lifting Us has on its multiple businesses and institutions is the Us Lifting Us marketplace. That would be something along the line of the size of a Walmart or a Lowe's store. Could be bigger or larger, but in the area of 150,000 square feet. But among the things that I wanted to get to that would be there is a farmer's market. Well, right now in this virus situation, it absolutely is ripe for us to have that Us Lifting Us marketplace open, and a farmer's market, a place where black farmers can bring their good produce, because they do have difficulties in getting their produce to markets that will let them in. But they could be bringing that produce that would help to nourish our people, and we would also be pooling circulating monies amongst us and helping the farmers to be able to expand their production and help us to be getting more fresh, vital food. And in that note, we've got to be prepared to get involved ourselves with some hands on the land and get outside to be growing more food, because we've got a whole lot of African people around the world that are not being properly nourished. You were getting ready to say something, Brother Kimbisi.
I was just going to say, you know, last week we had, the week before last, we had Brother Rashid Nuri on, who is a soil and food revolutionary. And he
yes.
stressed the importance of us getting back to the land, growing our own food. And he made a statement that food sovereignty is the first sovereignty. The only people, if you cannot feed yourself, then you can't have sovereignty. The only way that we will be sovereign and fully liberated and independent is we have to have the ability to feed ourselves. And so you're right. The Ulu market has a very robust farmers market component. And one of the things that we're encouraging our listeners, our members, and people who are becoming aware of Us Lifting Us, is if you have space, you should be growing something to eat. Get you a 5-gallon bucket and plant you some tomatoes. If you've got room in your backyard, put some collards in the ground. Get your hands in the soil. Get reconnected to the earth. Because that's really where the revolution begins. If nothing else, the coronavirus pandemic has shown us how vulnerable the food system is. You've got these meat packing plants where hundreds of workers have come down with COVID-19. Well, if the workers are sick and they're handling meat and products, it does raise the question, at least in my mind, that some of that product probably got coronavirus on it. So that raises the hey, you know, we definitely should be moving to a plant-based diet. And but even beyond that, we realize that if our total food supply is at Kroger and Publix, we got a problem. And so you're absolutely right, Brother Thurman. You know, getting to a place where we are growing food that we can eat ourselves, we can share with our neighbors, that we are building a robust farmers market that allows black farmers and growers to have a place where they can consistently bring their produce and plan to so that they remain viable. All of that is work that is in front of us to do. Continue with that, Brother Thurman.
Yes, we've got to do the food thing, and we've got to get reacquainted with sanity. And the food is a part of it. And in the process of doing the food thing, we've got to be reacquainted with the outside. So just like at the World Melanin Conference, a brother did a powerful lecture on outside, how we are intended to be outside. And there's so many benefits that will help to nourish us that's outside. And so, but when we break our addiction to staying inside and addicted to air conditioning and addicted to sitting, the more when we break free from that, the more receptive we are to doing the work that we need to do in terms of planting food, harvesting food, and then we also be more receptive to actually consuming that food rather than waiting for the meat product companies to get back online, which they may not, and it would be divinely okay if they don't. And so
you're absolutely right. Go ahead.
A lot of this divine stuff is, well, the divine way is always about teaching us our lessons. And so if there's stores closing and whatever's closing, we should be looking at it and say, well, what lessons should we be learning? And so if people are losing their jobs, losing their businesses, what lessons should we be learning? What lessons we should be learning is to be independent where we have our own water, our own food. And so then we wouldn't go thirsty, we wouldn't go hungry. And I mean, that's the way our people originally lived until the corruptors came in and messed us up. And so Us Lifting Us has the model, and for anybody that's on the call that has not taken a good look at Us Lifting Us, go to www.usliftingus.com. It's usliftingus.com. Do recognize that our web page is under being redone, and but we've got the model in place. It's our people came together, you know, some years ago, and we did some intensive study, and we must pool our resources. That's part of our survival strategy. And so
Brother
if we
Thurman,
the
time
yes.
has gotten away from us. I can't believe how fast this hour has flown by. You've brought a wealth of information for us and things to think about and action steps that we can take right away. Brothers and sisters, we thank you for joining us tonight. We're here every Thursday from 9 to 10 at www.usliftingus.com. We invite you to the website, as Brother Thurman said. We'll look for you to join us next Thursday for another exciting edition of Dare to Win. Thank you, Brother Thurman. Thank you, family. Peace. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, family. Yes.